Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Intended by M.L. Reigner. Narrated by Amy Melissa Bentley and Rudy Sanda. 1. Chloe. It has been 3 weeks. 3 miserable weeks since my world came crashing down. Well, since it came crashing down again. Seriously. How many shitty cards is one person dealt? I've got to tell you, I think I'm way past quota here. My list on how life sucks just keeps getting longer and longer. All of my pent-up angst has finally exploded into a disastrous reality. An unescapable outcome is on the horizon. I can feel it. This little cat-and-mouse game that Cyrus has led us on is coming to an end. I just don't know what it is he's waiting for. There hadn't been any signs of him since he left that daunting note. You cannot hide from me. I'll have what is mine. He was right. We were never able to hide, at least not for long, and regardless, we were done running. Just the thought of his dark promise sends a shiver of revulsion straight through to my soul. The knowledge of what he is capable of is suffocating, like my whole world is closing in on me. How to handle my psycho stalker hasn't been the only thing that consumed my thoughts lately. Not only did Cyrus's cameo appearance produce a life-changing event 3 weeks ago, but I also had my 18th birthday. And my long-expected transition came along with it. I'm all grown up now and a full-blown potential. Complete with swirly brand and near-constant skin humming. I like to think of it as a freshly installed warning system. Oh. And, of course, my cousin had to be a know-it-all. Arabelle's suspicions were correct. My destined soulmate happened to be in the room, albeit reluctantly, but he was there when I transitioned. I remember a stinging pain in my shoulder, and then a force I couldn't explain pushing me to look up to where a pair of steel-gray eyes were waiting. His piercing stare caused a jolt to run through my entire being. It came to rest at my newly acquired mark, which started to pulse like an erratic heart. My skin vibrated, and it was as if, in that moment, no one and nothing existed except for us. Everything else, the party, the people standing around us, my fears, it all seemed to fall away. Thinking back, I can't help but scoff at the thought, because just as quickly as we were sucked into that moment, we were thrown back into reality. If someone would have told me that a hardly detectable touch to the shoulder, a touch that I didn't even feel, would create so much havoc, I would have thought they were highly over-exaggerating. But that one touch, it caused my newfound mate to lose full control of his wolf. He tore from his human skin and emerged a raging, argent beast. Fortunately, Connell was quick to react and able to contain the situation before it resulted in bloodshed. Being mated, as well as Alpha, he posed no threat to me and was able to divert his beta's attention long enough for everyone else to leave the vicinity. I remember being frozen in place. I had no fear toward the monstrous wolf that paced in front of me, but there was shock. I don't know why I was shocked, especially after Ari's experience, but the fact that Falcon's wolf reacted so viciously to his own brother took a minute to absorb. That's right. The hand that tightly grazed my shoulder had belonged to Dane. He and I had quickly formed a familial bond since our first encounter, and he had been attempting to make sure I was all right after the brief pain that came with receiving my mark. He came close to losing a limb for his thoughtfulness. My concerns for anyone else quickly fell away when the massive silver wolf approached me. His presence was almost overwhelming, and it took strength I didn't know I had to not take a step back. His intense gaze instantly entrapped mine once again. His eyes shone with protectiveness, acceptance, fulfillment, and determination. I was captivated. He was beautiful. I never thought, with all the running, with all the threats, that I would ever get a chance to experience this. To find my true mate. My emotions ran wild, the strongest being fear. But when he spoke into my mind that first time, something else took over.
Be me too, O Hasint Igoni. Mowernin,
I will always protect you.
His words awoke something deep inside, some hidden determination I never would have believed I had. At that moment, I realized that I had to be the one to protect him. And protecting him? It came with a devastatingly difficult decision, but I knew it was necessary. See, I knew, better than anyone, what Cyrus was truly capable of. I knew of the heinous things he had in store for my mate if I was ever to find him. When I was being held captive by him, he had made it his mission to eliminate any hope I may have had. This included detailed descriptions of how he would kill my mate. The thoughts had been seared into my brain, and staring into the eyes of my true mate, hearing his vow to protect me, brought them racing to the forefront of my mind. The air around the wolf began to shimmer and shift, drawing my attention back from the past. Before I could really take in what was happening, over 6 feet of brooding male stood where the silver giant once was. The man was just as imposing as the wolf, and I could not stop my eyes from exploring the hard body in front of me. He had broad shoulders and a muscular chest that tapered down into a trim waist. The black tee he wore fit snugly and did nothing to hide his thick arms or the definition in his abs. Dark-washed jeans clung to his powerful legs, and he wore black work boots. After my perusal, I forced my eyes back to his ruggedly handsome face. His chiseled jaw was covered in a neatly trimmed beard. The shadow accentuated his high cheekbones and straight nose. Slightly thinned lips and a low brow that rested above his steel gray eyes only added to his natural intensity. His dark brown hair was cut short on the sides, with just enough length left on the top to run your fingers through. The thought made my fingers itch to do just that, so I gave myself a well-needed mental shake and fisted said hands for extra precaution. Closing my eyes, I forced myself to take a few deep breaths before I met his stare for the third time. He never took his eyes off my face. He watched me, seemingly picking apart my brain without difficulty. I did my best to block my mind, but Falcon was a highly skilled observer. He read me easily, not needing to use our link, though I am sure he received some glimpses. Regardless, he knew that my mind was made up. I couldn't speak. There were so many things I would have loved to say to him, but the lump growing in my throat wouldn't allow it. Besides, I would have probably broken down into sobs anyway. It was imperative that I stayed strong, that I kept hold of my recently awakened determination. He acknowledged my decision with a stiff nod, and I was able to squeeze out a small, sad smile. My vision blurred with his acceptance, and with one last pleading look, a hope that he truly understood, I turned away from him, left the room, and my heart. That was the last time I saw Falcon. Well, in human form, that is. His wolf is no stranger to me. He was always posted nearby. Like every other night, my armor-colored guardian had taken up sentinel at the tree line outside my window. Every night, I sit here with hope that he doesn't show, but also fear of the same thing. Yet every night, the majestic wolf appeared. His gray eyes would connect with mine through the window, and I would have to force myself to abandon his gaze. I know that he could easily penetrate any emotional wall I had erected if given the chance. I didn't want that. I didn't want him to see how I felt, what he truly was to me. Falcon was my hopes, my dreams, my happily ever after. Too bad I can never have him. Just as I had every other night since my transition, I turned from the window after his arrival. I slowly scanned my surroundings. I honestly loved my room. It wasn't too big, yet had plenty of floor space. The top half of the walls was a deep purple, while the lower half was leaf green. All the molding was white, as well as the door to the hallway, closet, and ensuite bathroom. The walls were free of posters and photos. I liked the clean, simplistic look. Plus, with all the frequent moves, I had never had the time to acquire many things. A purple comforter draped across the full-sized bed that was attached to a white headboard. A small white nightstand and weathered papasan chair rounded out my furniture. My favorite part was the window seat. The view from my window overlooked the backyard and into the trees behind the house. It was the perfect place to get lost in thought. After I stretched out my limbs and let out a long yawn, I decided it was time I headed to bed. I made my way across the room, turned off the light, and immersed the room into darkness. The only light left was that of the moon streaming in through the window. After I collapsed onto my bed, I waited for my mind to turn off. I hoped that, For once, sleep would not evade me for long.
Ihawa, moernin.
The deep timbre of his voice resonated in my mind. Every night the wolf spoke to me, although every night he went unanswered. A tear escaped my lid and ran down the side of my face. I know that, no matter how accepting he seemed of my decisions, I'm still hurting him. I'm hurting him by not responding, by not embracing our bond. I just can't. I can't take the chance of Cyrus finding out. Falcon would be his main target. He would kill my mate, and I wouldn't survive that. No, this is not going to happen. I have to be strong. No matter how much I want to give in and run to him, to throw myself in his arms and tell him that he is everything I want and need, I have to hold my ground. Even at the cost of my happily ever after, I will protect him.
2. Falcon. Everything was quiet as I approached the property. A low breeze flowed through the night, and my fur bristled at the cool, crisp contact. Winter had descended early this year, and with the drop in temperature came the snow. It had fallen over the course of several days and left a blanket of white over the entire region. As I worked my way from deeper in the forest, I moved soundlessly. Each step of my paws was muted by the snow. Once I made it to the tree line, still with no sign of any disturbance, I scanned the expanse of the backyard before I focused my gaze on the second-story window of the house before me. She was there. I knew she would be. It was a continuous pattern. Once I made my presence known, we would lock eyes for a mere moment. She was always the one to break the contact, and I'd watched as she turned from the window, turned from me. Every night was the same. Whether she realized it or not, she always waited for me. Moments after, her light would go out and the house would be bathed in nothing but moonlight. The near full moon casted a glow through the barren branches of the forest. Myths of our kind depicted falsehoods. The moon phases had no pull on our wolves. The brighter shine does help as my eyes scoured the space for footprints, paw prints, or anything out of place. As a wolf, my field of vision was still high in the dark of night, but the light of the moon was appreciated. The expanse was trackless, void of both human and animal disturbances. I had to give it to Cyrus. He was smart. Insane, but smart. He was using humans to do his dirty work, which made it that much more important to stay vigilant. Anyone could be on his payroll. Everyone was suspicious in my book. I would take no chances when it came to Chloe. Just by what I know of her past and the trials it has brought, I understand why she stepped away. I see the battle raging behind those sad blue eyes every time I sneak a glance. It's easy to see what she's doing. I know she's trying to protect me. It's an honorable idea. Foolish, yet honorable. So I will allow her to do what she feels necessary. She can close herself off from me. For now. In the meantime, I will be here. I will continue to guard her from the threats that lurk in the shadows. I made a promise, a vow to always protect the one that fate chose to gift me with. I wasn't looking for her, but I found her. Even though she is still out of reach, no part of me will give her up. The wolf and the man are in complete agreement where Chloe Weaver is concerned. She is mine, and she will always be mine. From what I understood, when she wasn't brooding and detached, the curly-haired blonde could be quite the firecracker. The strength and determination that flashed through her eyes the night of her transition told me that this was true. I guess that she and her cousin have very similar personalities. This should probably have aggravated me, since I find Arabelle Weaver extremely tiresome. She had a heart of gold and was quick to care for the pack, but her boisterous antics rivaled that of Connor, which, in my opinion, wasn't an ambition worth achieving. But, regardless of my annoyance of the girl, Arabelle was good for Connell. I have seen the changes within him and approve of her influence immensely. She brought light back into his eyes and helped him reach his inner strength. That mouth, though? Yeah, I don't know how she could stay out of trouble or how Connell could handle her exuberant personality. When I thought of Chloe being like that, though, a slight thrill raked through my body. I would never admit it, but I craved for the moment when she would finally allow her walls to crumble, when she would allow her true identity to shine again. I caught a piece of it, just a flash of her inner fire, and I admired her spark. Of course, at the time, I had no idea why her fiery reaction to the grabby bimbo had elated my wolf. Now I've realized that even before her transition, she called to me. She was mine. I was hers. My wolf was hers. Reflecting more on the events of that afternoon, I remembered the feeling of my body bristling when someone wrapped their arms around her. I am sure that my eyes flashed gold before I recognized my brother. He was trying to restrain her from tearing into the floozy. I had instantly calmed. Now, though? Now I know that if it had been anyone other than Dane, I would have lost it. My wolf would have taken over right there in front of the whole parking lot full of high schoolers. That crisis had thankfully been averted. Then there was the meadow. I couldn't keep my eyes from constantly seeking her out. My wolf fought hard to approach her that day. I was barely able to stay him. I am an idiot. How the hell did I miss the signs? I should have seen it and prepared myself for her transition. Instead, I kept my head in my ass and almost tore into my little brother. I observe. That's what I do. How did I not see this coming?
Because you really are an idiot.
Dane's laughing voice entered my mind. I whipped around to see his dark gray wolf slowly approach my side. He's getting better.
Lost in thought, brother. You weren't blocking your mind, and your rambling was beginning to give me a headache.
He sat down beside me with a humorous glint in his dark brown eyes that mirrored our mother's. My wolf gave a grunt in response before I turned my attention back to the darkened house before me. Smart-ass pup.
It's all right, you know. I would rather listen to your internal dialogue drone on and on than listen to Connor's belly aching for another second.
He huffed out an amused sigh after lowering his large frame into the snow. The smoke-gray wolf was beginning to rival my own size.
What's wrong with him now?
The pain in the ass was always spouting off at the mouth about something. My guess? Something was up with the girl.
One word. Maisie.
What a shocker.
What about the girl?
My tone was indifferent. I already knew what was going on with the girl, but it seems that Connor hadn't figured it out yet.
She's still not giving him the time of day, and he can't seem to figure out why she closed herself off.
His wolf let out an exasperated huff.
It's driving him crazy, and in turn, he is driving the rest of us there as well.
Tell him to suck it up. Her detachment is temporary. It will all work out when the time is right.
What makes you say that?
Dane's massive wolf head turned toward me.
The girl is just scared. She has no family history, and therefore has no way of knowing if she is truly a potential until her 18th birthday. If she doesn't transition, well...
I looked to my brother and waited while he worked it out himself.
You think she's afraid she won't be his mate and will have to give him up?
I nodded in agreement.
If we've learned anything from your little mental soap opera...
I growled a warning that my brother ignored.
We know that our wolves sense something before the transition. We just have to listen.
Aye.
I scanned the yard again. Even with the current distraction beside me, I will not fail my mate.
You could see all of that, but not when it came to yourself? How did that happen? I didn't respond right away. Mostly because I had no idea. I was completely in the dark for the first time, and it could have had dire results. Dane must have sensed where my thoughts had turned and nudged my shoulder. It's fine, brother. I don't blame you for your reaction. Honestly, I shouldn't have touched her. I had this gut feeling that something was going to happen. Lo and behold, I was right. He pushed harder at my side. Who would have thought?
Tatooine Amadan, Jerhar Beg. You are a fool.
He nipped at me, his wolf wanting to play, but I just growled. Some things will never change.
Rialo do Maktira, Hoga. Control your wolf.
I waited for Dane to rein in his rambunctious beast. I had something to say, and he needed to focus.
I want you with her at all times.
I looked him in those dark brown eyes once more.
At all times, Dane. You are in the position to be with her when I can't. She trusts you, and so do I.
Marajes tu, Jerhar. As you say.
3. Chloe.
Chloe! Chloe!
Someone whisper screamed while they nudged my sleeping form.
Wake up!
I groaned and turned toward the urgent sound of my cousin's hushed voice.
What time is it?
That doesn't matter. We're getting out of here. She grabbed my arm and yanked me from my laying position before turning away. My mother was already awake and looked to be throwing miscellaneous items into a duffel bag.
What are you talking about?
My mind was racing. How were we supposed to get out? We've been imprisoned by the Panthers for 5 years.
Are you crazy? We will never make it. Even if we made it through the house, they would track us down before we made it half a mile.
We have to try. My mother gave what I can only guess was meant to be a reassuring smile. Let's move quickly and quietly. And just like that, we were on the move. The door to our room, which was always locked from the outside, opened without difficulty. Arabelle went first, and my mother pushed me out behind her. She joined us in the empty hallway and soundlessly closed the door.
Quickly, girls.
We hustled down the hallway and into the living room. The house that we were currently being held in was a single-story ranch-style home with an open floor plan. The hallway we just exited made way to 3 bedrooms and a full bathroom. From where we stood, the living room, dining room, and kitchen were visible. There wasn't a soul in sight. Seeing that the house was indeed empty, a small ray of hope seeped into my soul. With newfound energy, I was the first to make my way to the front door. Once I stepped out into the cool night air, I was transported from the porch into the cover of the forest. I was running. My mother was gone. Ari was gone. But I was not alone. I could hear him as he crashed through the underbrush. The sound of his snarls echoed around me. The beat of his massive paws, tearing up the earth as he closed the distance between us, was thunderous. And just when he got so close, I swore I could feel his hot breath searing my neck. An ear-piercing howl rang through the darkness. The sound should have been daunting, but brought with it a sense of comfort. It was my mate. And he had come to save me from the monster that was hunting me. I shifted directions, running straight to where the howl emanated. I pushed and pushed my body to continue until I thought I would surely collapse. That's when I saw him.
Hamad eg glushat. Tatu biag hash om.
He told me to keep moving, that I was almost there. But I didn't know where there was exactly. I kept moving. The fear that the predator chasing me was close to sinking his claws into my flesh was the only thing propelling me forward. When I was only mere steps away, my mate leaped over my head and changed into a giant silver wolf midair. His massive body collided with my pursuer, and a savage battle ensued. I cried out for him, though I didn't know his name. My eyes locked on the wolf as he tore into the throat of his foe. With one final shake, the panther's limp form dropped into a heap of black fur. My eyes followed the movements of the victor as he turned his intense gaze upon me. His stare was like a sweet caress that made me shudder, despite the feral scene I had just bore witness to.
Bemetu ahasant egoni, mowirnin.
I slowly coaxed myself awake, surprised to find my breathing level. Yet again, my subconscious granted over 6 feet of pure intensity a leading role in my dreams. The nightmare turned fantasy seemed to play on a loop any time sleep found me. I gave myself a mental shake and let out a sigh. I had every intention of burrowing myself back into my blankets, subconscious be damned. I was nowhere near ready to face the woes of high school. Hell, I was nowhere near ready to leave the bed. Monday mornings were torturous. They needed to die a fiery death. Rise and shine, sleeping beauty. My scream pierced the room. Startled, my body flailed at the sound of her voice. The problem was that I had somehow become tightly wrapped within my sheet and blanket. The jerky movement against the constriction caused me to fall. A yelp squeaked out, along with all the air in my lungs, as I crashed to the bedroom floor with an audible thud. Wow, are you sure your middle name isn't Grace? Arabelle barked out a laugh at the ridiculous display in front of her. A frustrated growl tore from my throat as I kicked out of the heap of confining fabric. Once I regained my bearings, my eyes sought her out. She was sprawled across the window seat. A look of boredom overtook her features as I did my best to appear as peeved as I felt. Someone needs to get you a bell or something. What are you even doing in here? Being bored out of my mind waiting for you to join the land of the living. Did you know that you drool? The side of her mouth turned up into a smirk, and I leveled her with the best glare I could muster. What do you want, eh? I pulled myself up from the floor and plopped down on the bed with an exasperated sigh. There was only one topic that would have my cousin stalking me while I sleep. I didn't want to get into it either. Not with her, not with anyone. I thought that was obvious. I want to have a little chat about how big of an idiot you are. And here we go. I didn't need to chat about it. I was already aware of my foolish decisions. The problem was that it didn't matter. No need. It won't change anything. Arabelle leveled me with a disbelieving look. So, you're just going to continue to let Cyrus win? Come on, Chloe. This isn't you. The girl I know wouldn't just roll over without a fight. It's fine to be scared, but to give up? I'm protecting what's important. Why doesn't she get that? And what exactly is important to you, Chloe? Because it seems that you need to allow yourself access to your backbone. Now that pissed me off a bit. Cyrus is out there, Arabelle. He's a deranged psychopath that makes James look like a fluffy kitten, and he's just biding his time. That knowledge is like a little gnat flying around my head. Except for when I try to swat it away, I realize too little too late that it wasn't a gnat at all, but a raging yellow jacket, and I'm down for the count. We stared at each other, neither of us breaking contact. It was a battle of wills, so to speak. I wanted her to finally understand where I was coming from, and she wanted me to throw caution to the wind. Anger, frustration, sadness, defeat, and finally understanding flashed through her blue eyes. I get why you feel that way, but we can't keep running. She let out a tired sigh before giving me a sad smile. It's not going to help. She was right. Running won't help, and no part of me wanted to anymore. But now I realized that she thought I did. She thought I was angry with her, angry with the pack, angry with Falcon because I wanted to run. I know that, I do. I don't want to run. She lifted a brow in moderate disbelief. No, I'm serious. It never mattered anyway. It has always been an exaggerated game of cat and mouse. They always found us. After meeting the pack and your connection with Connell, I guess that, in a way, it was good that they kept pushing us to move. It brought us here, and it's where we should be. It's where you should be. It's where you should be as well. I smiled at that, but I know it hadn't reached my eyes. We sat in companionable silence for a few minutes before she stood and headed toward the door. By the way, Dane is giving us a ride. Connell is taking the Nissan for maintenance or something. I guess they have an open morning at the garage, and he wants to make sure our death trap is a little less death-trappy. I couldn't help but laugh. She was completely right. The car was definitely on its last leg. I couldn't remember the last time it was looked at by a professional, if ever. We have had that car.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?